actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with people you just did battle with should never be taken away.
But I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to like, it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the school of hard knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Hummer Foods Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your niece on claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah, it's Thursday. It's late August. The heat of the summer was beating down hard today on the East Coast. Jeffy, it's hot in here.
Yo, it's hot everywhere. I haven't taken off any of my clothes. I just literally burst through the door from work. I'm sitting here, open chef coat, sweaty nether regions.
Wow, we're gonna go there, huh?
Yeah, I wow. went right there. I went right to where it is, right where it hurts right now.
Jesus, I mean, I didn't
ever seen a grown man naked.
I didn't know it was gonna be right there,
in
right
Mexico,
away,
Daddy.
excited to be with you. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, joined as always with our good friend Chef Dan. What's up, buddy?
What up? What up? Sitting here butt ass naked.
I'm not wearing any pants. I'm wearing.
See,
go ahead.
I expect that from you too.
Well, you know, I call it comfort. You know what I'm saying? Comfort. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I recorded the NPR show today, and I was trying to take a shower before I had to go do dinner service, and I just didn't have enough time. So I took all of my clothes off down to my underwear and just jumped in the pool. And then jumped out really quick and dried off and said, I'm good for another day.
I love that, man. That's that Florida shower.
Is that what they call it? Is that the term?
That's what I call it. Yeah, that old chlorine shower. You don't have to wash because you're in Florida. It's hot. You just get in and out of pools all day. You're like, you forget.
You get that little extra clean in there. The chlorine does the job, right? Shampoo is for suckers.
Works in toilets.
Bleach is better than soap.
I guess so. Tonight, we got a great show for you. We're going to be hanging out with a new good brother. He's the chef at the Highway Restaurant in East Hampton. His name is Chef Justin Finney. Looking forward to getting to know him a little bit later on, Jeffy. A chef that you become friendly with.
Absolutely. Our wives are roller skating queens, and we're their fanboys.
No, is that a
I
thing?
Mean, maybe a little bit. And I don't know. That's how I met him. And he's just a good brother. I mean, we connected right away. And I follow him on Instagram. I love the shit he says. I love his food. And excited to have him on.
Well, excited to talk to him and meet him and get to know him. But first, before we get to our guest tonight, Dan, you text an article to our group chat earlier today that I don't know. I only got about halfway through. I found it kind of disturbing and slightly annoying. Can you tell us, or just kind of give us the rundown of that article without reading the entire thing?
So the article was written by Reem Asil. She's a chef from California. She was
And where was it
talking
posted?
About her? Excuse me?
Where was it posted? It was posted on Eater,
right? It was
right?
On Eatery. Yeah, Eatery.com.
No, just Eater.
I saw it on Eatery. Instagram. Or Eater, yeah, Eatery. eater.com. I seen it on Instagram. I read through it. It was kind of along the lines of a conversation we had a show or two ago. And I sent it to China. It was about her experiences with sexual explicit nature by chefs, and how chefs, the name chef comes along with this kind of stature that's predominant of, I guess, essentially a dominating male figure.
Males.
And males.
But like then, cis, but it's like the cis white male. Like, it's like she's basically saying that, you know, chef, with the term chef comes this, like, you know, we're all like lecherous, or in the industry, like, we celebrate the lecherous, like, shittier side of the industry, and because of that, she doesn't want to be called chef until we can change these things.
Because she thinks that term chef is almost derogatory because of what she associates with it, right?
Well, because what she feels the industry supports. And her example was like Top Chef or some shit, how they picked the Mexican guy and not like a black woman. And she was like really upset because, you know, the Mexican guy looked white and he also, you know, could have passed off as white. So like he had a lot of like things ahead of that. And then it comes out later that he was also like an asshole and like treated women poorly or something to that nature. And they're like, and she's like, and Top Chef knew about it and he still won. And because of this, you know, I'm going to write this article and tell everybody that men, it's shit bags. I don't know. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, so I didn't get the chance to finish the article, but I did get through some of it. And I don't know if I have the same vibe that you got from it. I don't.
Hit me.
Our industry is predominantly male dominated. I mean, I think that's the way it goes, because you think of what this industry is and what it's been. I got to be careful because I'm not trying to say anything bad. It's just I'm trying to describe it. It's become. I guess the chefs like myself and you, Jeff, and you, Dan, we are from a different generation of chefs who don't find a problem in working hard and overworking ourselves to get to the goal, where now that's frowned upon, basically.
All right.
I wasn't done, but...
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm freaking out inside. Go ahead.
You're the co-host of the show. You can talk as much as you want.
Well, I just want to say that's like such – I hate that thing. Like, let's not normalize long hours, and you shouldn't work like long hours. I mean, I agree everyone should get paid for their long hours, but I feel like everyone who's good at their craft puts in hours.
We talked about this last week. You know, I was jokingly naming off like musicians, but it's the truth. I mean, you look at someone who is incredibly successful.
Oh,
I mean,
Lady Gaga.
The Lady Gaga, she definitely doesn't work a 40-hour work week. I mean, she's always working to bust her ass. But what I'm saying is that along with being the white male executive chef has almost become polarizing in the industry. Like, if you're the white male chef who works 70 hours a week, it's almost, I don't know, Dan, kind of frowned upon now.
I don't know about that. I just think it's more. I don't know about frowned upon, that part. Frowned upon. I mean, is it? I don't know. I can't give you an answer for that. That you kind of stumped me with that one, because I think the idea behind her article was that I guess the name comes from. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. So maybe it is. I'm sorry. You caught me off with that, because I guess the frowned upon part kind of like sets you back. It kind of makes you kind of.
What I got from it was like, listen, it doesn't have to always be the white male chef or the male chef or any of that. It can be a female chef who wants to, who can be the number one. And listen, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely.
I worked for female chefs. I loved it. I worked for Cheryl for years.
Right.
I loved it. I learned so much. And I just feel like it was just a very one-sided, like, from her experience, but it was like, the whole industry is shit. And like, I just hate that fucking perspective. I don't know.
Well, that's the new thing. That's the new cool thing people do, is the industry is shit, blah, blah, blah. But this is the problem I have with the whole thing. Ready? So if I put one sweet potato fry into a large French fry, and all the rest of the fries are just regular French fries, I mean, the sweet potato fry is eventually going to be forgotten about because there's a bunch of other fries in there. Does that make sense? Like, no, okay, you want more female chefs? You want more female chefs? Well, look, we got to get them in the industry. We got to get them in here, get them working, get them to be a part of the industry. It is a male-dominated industry right now because that is predominantly who works in it. No one's making that the case. That's just what it is.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like in New York, there's a ton of female chefs. I know a ton of women chefs.
Yeah, no, dude, there is now, and it's definitely doubling and becoming more and more now. But 5 years ago, 7 years ago, it wasn't.
Restaurant chefs, catering chefs. I mean, I can think of like 10 female chefs that I admire.
Did we just talk over each other the whole time right there?
Sorry. Was I?
I'm just trying to figure out. Did we just talk over each other the whole time there?
No, I came in after you, I thought.
Okay. It's just one of those things where I think articles like this hurt the cause more than help the cause. I know she probably feels like I'm trying to draw attention to it. I mean, good sister, there's a lot of attention already on it. People already recognize this stuff. Like, if there's only, you know, if there's 100 male chefs to 6 female chefs, I actually would venture to say that's not because they aren't given the opportunity or given the chance. And listen, there are places where that happens, right? For sure. But I mean, especially now in 2021, I mean, if there's just not enough people there to do the job that are female, then the male's going to get picked. And I don't think she should be picked because she's female.
Agreed.
I think the time that we stop looking at gender and stop looking at race and stop looking at these things and just say, who's the best person for the job? Male, female, black, white, red, purple, green, burgundy. I don't give a shit. You know, whoever can do the job best, that's the person I want.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that.
I think that too many times now, I don't know, I'm about to say some controversial shit and I don't want to say it, because it's going to come across bad. And Dan, I'm not trying to, but I think the more attention you keep saying and thinking you're bringing attention to something, writing articles like this, you're hurting the cause. That's basically what I'm trying to say. And if you want more female chefs, then let's encourage more females to be a chef. Because it's just not... Go ahead.
If you make it a scary place, you're not going to encourage them to be there. If you're like, oh my God, every kitchen I've ever been in, I've been sexually harassed, like... Also, I'm sure there's been a lot of times where you've really enjoyed being there. Like, you, when you put a negative connotation on it, you're going to create a vibe that's going to push people away. And they're going to be like, oh, I don't want to deal with that.
And look, I think that stuff is true, Dan. You're right. But, like, that whole sexually harassed thing, and I am not saying it doesn't happen. But it's not. There was a time in our careers, gentlemen, where that was normal. I mean, I can't tell you how many terrible times I've been sexually harassed. I'm sure not as much Absolutely. As a female has, but it's just kitchen jokes and you move on. But I'm sure for the females that work in the kitchen, the few that there were, they're not. It's not just move on for them, and I don't ever want them to feel that way or have that. But I think those sort of situations are, you know, fading. Like, it's becoming not okay, and that's a good thing.
Well, they got to come in and set the tone and say, this is what I'm expecting from you. And people need to respect that. Like, at the end of the day, and everyone is respectful of everybody, then it should work out in the long run. I mean, I would, like you said, I've worked with female chefs all the time. And I've known female chefs that are way more perverted than most dudes I know.
Yes!
But it's just a matter of...
I've seen both. But exactly. But
they can't speak for everybody, just like this article doesn't speak for everybody. It's just... There's just a lot of different things, you know? A lot of perspectives.
That's just it, right? There's a lot of perspectives. It's a kitchen. And in a kitchen, there's a million different perspectives, and everyone's talking and vibing and whatever. And it's like, if that kitchen's, like, super shitty, you should get out of that kitchen. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in kitchens where I didn't dig the vibe, and I've been like, fuck this place, you know? Fuck these dudes. Fuck this place. But I'm not like, fuck all fucking chefs who look like this guy because fucking this, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, fuck these guys, you know? Like, sometimes there's dudes or girls right. or whoever that are shitty. And it's like, I don't want to be around those shitty people, then fuck them. You know what I mean? But it's like, why does it have to be everybody shitty with it? You know what I mean? The baby with the bathwater.
Right, right. Know. You're anyway. Throwing everybody in there. Let's and we're talking about this article that was written on Eater. The article is written by Reem Assal. Jeffy, we should reach out to her and get her on the show.
Let's.
I mean, not to attack, but I want her to explain this to me. I want to understand it more.
I have to get one of the interns to get on it.
I mean, we should reach out to her. I think she'd probably do it. Just to get her perspective. Like, this article, it's on Eater. You can find it. It's not hard to find. It's called Don't Call Me Chef. That doesn't imply anything to me. That implies someone who's worked hard. I just think that, yeah, I mean, baby out with the bathwater, Jeffy. You nailed it. That's exactly right. That's exactly where my head's at with that. I mean, what happened? Did you just drop something?
No, I was playing the drums. I was excited.
Oh, good, good.
I think the word chef has kind of gotten lost in translation anyway. I mean, essentially, when you have 11 and 12-year-old kids coming on TV talking about how they're a chef, it's kind of hard to
exactly really
accept the trueness yeah, of the word. Daddy. Where it doesn't have the same meaning. Like, and
for guys like us who bust our ass to earn that title.
Yeah.
Call me daddy. I don't want to be called chef.
I got you, daddy.
Exactly. That's what I want.
For well, now. Let's reach out to her. I don't think this conversation is done. I think there's a lot more to talk about here. And
let's dance.
You know, there's a other thing I just want to bring up really quick. In my town, there's a Facebook group for my town, and a woman posted there that her daughter is working at this restaurant. The restaurant sold to new owners. The new owner started cutting her hours, and now I've told her that they have to take a percentage of her tips as like a cut for the restaurant. And for those of you who don't know, that's illegal. No management for any restaurant's ever supposed to touch the tips for any tipped employee. But when you hear something like that, guys, and it's a you know, a teenage girl, you know, first restaurant gig, she's waiting tables, hosting, whatever it is, you hear something like that, it for me, it just infuriates me, because these are owners who shouldn't own a restaurant. What do you guys think when you hear something like that?
Yeah, that's the kind of shit I don't like. That would be a place I would be like, fuck these guys, I'm out.
Dan, what about you?
That's a great example of a place that it's run by people that don't know what they're doing. And if your experiences are being in restaurants with a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing, they're going to be bad experiences. And it's like unfortunate that that is a place, that is the way things take place. And it's kind of like you got to weed through the bullshit to find, you know, where that happy ending is.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, that's sad. That's fucking stupid. Like, that's
especially exactly in the industry now where there's so many jobs.
Yeah, that's just insane. Like, they should not be doing that at all. I was like, wow, that was my daughter.
Absolutely. I want to tell you what my response was. I wrote back. I never answered anything on Facebook because I don't look at it. I happened to be looking at it last night. And I said, feel free to reach out to me and tell me if this actually continues. I would be happy to use every medium that I have access to, television, radio, to let these people know that they can't do that. Or if you prefer, I'd be more than happy to go over there personally and tell them that that's not legal. They're not allowed to do that. I'd be more than happy to do that. And she sent me a message like she's so thankful and couldn't believe that I had reached out to her. And she was very nice about it. But I think
so magical.
I encouraged her to. She's a Connecticut girl. I encouraged her daughter.
Oh,
to,
she's a nutmegger. To get leave, the fuck out of here.
To leave the job. But Jeffy, that's what I'm saying. Like, trying to use, you know, people like us have to stop that shit from happening.
It's true.
That's what we it's have true. To do.
Defend the meek or weak.
That's right. That's right. Well, listen. Excuse me. Excuse me. If you see things going like that happening, man, you let us know. Reach out to Jeffy. Tell him on Instagram at ForkKingChef. And tell them what's up. We'll come in there with our capes on, swoop in and save the day. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Fuck yeah.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by our guest tonight, Chef Brian Finney from the Highway Restaurant in East Hampton. We're going to talk shop, a little bit of shop talk, talking shop on Plum Love Foods Live. Coming up next, stay right there. We'll be right back, guys. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco, and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com.
Jeffy and Friends is taped in front of a live studio audience.
Man, this virus is everywhere.
Seriously, I'm pretty sure I saw a homeless guy selling vaccines on the subway.
I don't think that's real, but we are out of weed.
Damn it.
Hey, Dave.
Damn it, the key to my apartment isn't working anymore.
What? What do you mean?
The key to my apartment. I sold it to this tourist on the street. I told him it was the key to the vaccine.
Jesus, really, Dave?
Wow, that works? How much did you get?
Not nearly enough. Dave asked if he could sleep over my place.
Damn. Does anyone knock anymore?
Do you have any idea who you sold it to?
Shit, nah.
Well, maybe we could make him a new key. Can't be that expensive.
Nope. He sold his lock last week as an AIDS cure to a guy from Maine.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio.
That's right, Plum Love Foods Live, coming back to you live right here on a Thursday, late August. Actually, let's just say the date. It's August 26th, Jeffrey. Can you believe that that's where we are already?
I can believe it, and I'm excited that it's almost September.
September's Counting a good down. Month, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great month. September's. I have come to love September.
Hell yeah.
And also October and November. And then towards the end of November, December.
January, February, March, April, May.
March is also a good month. I don't like winter as much as I dig.
We had a great winter at one time. We were shooting at Elite Chef. That was pretty fun.
No, I'm not saying I didn't have fun. I don't like the winter.
Well, there may be some stuff on the horizon trying to make a strong comeback, but stay tuned for that. I got to correct myself before. I think I said Brian Finney. I met Justin Finney. I know a guy named Brian Finney, which is why that name came out, Jeffy. I apologize for that.
No, don't apologize to me. Maybe you should apologize to our guest.
Well, I will when I get him on the horn, but I just wanted you to know that, like, I acknowledge that I screwed that up. I mean, that was, like, my one of, like, four screw-ups I get a year.
It's okay. I marked it on the calendar, and I recorded it, and it's going to be in the best of. Don't worry.
Our guest joining the program here right now is a native of Cleveland, Ohio, and we're not going to hold that against him. Chef Justin Finney is the chef de cuisine at the Highway Restaurant and Bar in East Hampton, New York, an integral part of the team since the restaurant's opening in 2015. Finney has continued to serve elevated classics to the locals and visitors alike. Prior to joining the Highway team, the young but experienced Hampton's veteran has worked at such staples as Nick and Tony's, The Meeting House, and Rowdy Hall. Finney has worked to develop a deep relationship with local farmers and fishermen, much like me and Jeffy do, which guarantees the kitchen access to some of the freshest ingredients for the ever-evolving menu. Ladies and gentlemen, friends of the show, please welcome our new good brother, Chef Justin Finney. There he is. Attaboy, Justin.
Yeah. Hey.
What's good, brother?
What up? Good, man. Just finishing up work. And, you know, just like Jeff, I'm looking forward to fall.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, I know off air we talked about it, but you guys are still just bumping over there, right? It's busy as shit.
Yeah. It's unlike anything, you know, like I've been out here for 15 years and every year the off season, quote unquote, gets to be shorter and shorter, and it's different every year. Last year was obviously super different. I never thought that I'd be running a restaurant that solely survived on serving takeout, but
unbelievable,
we did, and we were successful with it, and it's now become a part of what we do on a nightly basis.
You know, we talked about this on the program. I felt like, you know, we had perfected service, like during the pandemic. Like, we'd gotten to the point where restaurants have perfected service, like providing service to people by getting the takeout stuff down to a science. But in that providing service, we lost a little hospitality. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It was really, we started to have people back in the restaurant because it was like strange. It was like having a stranger in your house. We had gotten so used to nobody ever coming inside the restaurant, and it was just like we were just pumping out takeout and putting it in bags and lining it up, and this is order number this, and this is order number that. All right, again, 7:15. And then people started coming in, and you're like, oh, wait, we can't walk around and scream at each other and, like, act like animals. Yeah, right. That people are coming in here to spend money, and, oh, shit, we have to order linens, and the bathrooms look like shit. And, you know, it was kind of a adjustment process.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, shit, I got to remember how to do this again. I got to remember how to, like, expedite and talk to table. Like, the first dozen tables I came up to, I legitimately feel bad for them. I was, like, awkward as hell. And I don't know what to say to you. I'm still wearing a mask. Like, it was bizarre. But
it's a different world we live in now, for sure, man. Hey, tell us a little bit about the Highway Restaurant. Just kind of set the table with it so we all understand, people listening, because not everybody who listens to this program is local to us out here. I mean, there's people all across the world listening.
So Highway Restaurant originated as an idea to just kind of provide local, like, home-cooked, interesting cuisine. And it's evolved into a restaurant that, you know, we make our own pasta. We have a, like, strong Asian influence. And when people describe the restaurant, it's American cuisine with a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess that's a good description, but
that's awesome.
We've like, you know, we'll do sushi. We've had Shuko out for the past couple of summers, and they'll come out and they'll do omakases, and we'll have, like, sushi as part of our repertoire, but we'll also do, you know, eggplant parmesan and a great spit roast chicken and a really good burger, and, you know, also have a kids menu. Sometimes I feel like we're, like, entering Cheesecake Factory zone, but at the same time, I'm okay. Because when people are like, oh, what should I order? I'm like, literally pick anything on the menu. It's all great. Like, we do everything in-house, even from, like, making the curry paste to make the yellowfish curry. We make it by hand in a mortar and pestle and, like, get the galangal in, get the lemongrass, get the kaffir lime, which is a whole other thing, like, sourcing all those different ingredients. But I really like where the Highway is right now. I think we've really come to a place where our clientele is trust us with, like, anything we do, and also provide a great local place for people to go, because we don't shut down during the off season. We're there 5 or 6 days a week in the winter, and we take a small break, like, in February, just so myself and the kitchen people can take a vacation. But besides that, we're there year round.
I mean, I'm looking at the menu for the restaurant now, and man, it's a little bit of everything there. I mean, your salads look great. The pastas sound fantastic. You know, just to give a little idea. He's got some orecchiette with spicy fennel sausage, tomato, chili. Are you making that sausage?
Yeah, we make the sausage in house. And like the rigatoni pasta with the pesto, we make the basil rigatoni. We have like a pasta extruder. Do all that. And another thing that I try to do with the menu is like there's so many allergies out there. Yeah. And so many people that are health conscious. I don't use a ton of dairy. I like try to stay away from gluten unless gluten's supposed to be there, like pasta. Like I don't make gluten-free pasta because if you have pasta, it's got gluten in it. And with the salads, I don't just throw cheese in it just to have cheese in it. And, you know, it kind of alleviates the red ink on tickets. You know, you want everything to be seamless, and you want service to go smooth, and you want to make everybody without them having to pick apart your menu, because you guys know that that's irritating when you create a dish and then all of a sudden somebody's like, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. Can you do it without this?
Don't ever be a private chef, bro.
Yeah.
You have no idea. You know.
Or work at a Montauk restaurant.
It's like being a Ferrari with speed bumps everywhere.
That's a good analogy, Jeffy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Chef, how many seats are in the restaurant? And talk about the brigade. Like, how big of a kitchen do you have? Like, your staff.
So we have about 90 seats in the restaurant, which includes about 12 at the bar. Nice. My kitchen staff consists of three cooks. You know, two pantry girls, one sous chef, two dishwashers, and one prep girl. And that's about it. And myself.
Damn. So
it's not, a pretty small team.
Yeah, it's not a very big team there, huh?
No, it's a small team, but I'm probably, you know, pretty lucky to say this, but most of my team has been with me for over 6 years.
Wow.
Some of them have been with me the full time since we've been open.
Knock on that wood.
And they're great. I mean, I tend to lead by example, and they would all definitely follow me into the fire, which is great. And it makes service that much easier.
That's what I'm talking about. I love to hear that, man. And it's that positive energy, I think, that you kind of exude that helps that happen for them as well.
Fuck yeah.
Let me ask you, so when you're hiring people and you work in a – you know, it's a seasonal business out here. You're open year-round. Most places, they hire people. They have to put them up. They get housing for them. Do you have to do all that there, too, because you're year-round?
So I do have housing, which staff doesn't have to pay for, but I only have two of my guys that are in it right now. Everyone else has been with me so long that they kind of have their own living situation sorted out. So that's
awesome.
Great, too, because it alleviates so much drama when everybody's living in the same house and sharing the same space. It just gets to be too much. So I'm definitely lucky in that sense. But it's not without it. It takes a lot to maintain all of the different personalities. And, you know, as I get older and more experienced and not like such a raging young chef and like throwing shit and swearing at people, I'm like, that's the most challenging part of my job some days. It's like, oh my God, this person's upset at this and this person's upset at that. I feel like I'm a psychologist and like a handyman and like everything else all rolled into one. And then the last thing I got to do, I got to cook. I forgot about that.
Dude, I've said forever, man, we should have a chef be president. Let me tell you why. Because we could do a little bit of everything, and we're pretty good listeners, but we're damn good leaders.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we also have hot tempers, though, man. I wouldn't give some of my chefs the button. That'd be a terrible idea. Get drunk one night and be like, fuck Russia. Bam! Wake up the next morning and be like, what the fuck happened, guys?
Fuck is Putin? Oh, shit. Did we blow this motherfucker?
Freaked out last night. What were you doing? What? No, I wasn't doing anything. What do you
I didn't do nothing, man. What the fuck are you talking about?
That was amazing.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, Chef, before we move on to hear a little bit more of your background, Dan, can you throw those plugs out there for Chef? Because we want to get him out there because the restaurant looks great. I can't wait to go check it out.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can find our new friend, Justin Finney, and check him out at JustinFinney666 at IG. You can check out the restaurant, the Highway Restaurant, at Highway Hamptons on his IG. And just a heads up, they're having a September 12th dinner at Quail Hill Farm in Narragansett, Long Island.
Yeah.
So Narragansett.
Jesus.
There you go. Good boy.
Narragansett. I'm learning.
Man, you're good, buddy.
That's going to be a fun event right there. That's my neck of the woods. That's where I live right now. But, Chef, you come from Cleveland.
Can I ask him a quick question?
Okay.
Quick sidebar. Hey, Justin, does a guy named Rodrigo work for you?
Used to.
Okay. He worked for me.
He walked out on me on a July 4th weekend.
Oh, no. Shit.
He did?
Yeah.
Fuck Rodrigo.
No.
He worked for me for 5 years and just walked out.
Yeah, fuck
no!
Rodrigo. Fuck Rodrigo, Jeffy.
Yeah. He's a really good cook. He's a really good cook, but he has definitely a case of the Napoleon syndrome.
Yeah. He's always been like the littler guy. Like he has his brother's a little bigger than him. Everyone's a little bigger than him. Yeah. He was like I taught him garmage. He's a dishwasher that I turned into a garmage at my first chef gig in the Hamptons. And like I run into him here and there. He told me he worked at the Highway, and then he told me I just ran into him at like King Cullen. He told me he worked at the Highway, and he told me he worked at the fucking Japanese place in Watermill, the sushi spot that's there from the city. You know what I'm talking about, the Amakase spot there?
Yeah, I don't know the name of it, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We get real local with that shit.
Yeah, man.
Solid cook. But
yeah, he's a solid cook, but that's fucked up, man. Hey, Rodrigo. I see you, Doe.
I see your ass walking out on our boy there. That's not good. I mean, listen, if you're going to quit, do it the right way. Don't fucking just walk out.
Do it the right way. Come on,
fucking guy.
Guy.
Come on, guy. Chef, you're from Cleveland, Ohio. I won't hold that against you. I'm a diehard Steelers fan.
We won't hold that against you. It's okay.
Well, you shouldn't.
I'm a Bills fan.
More championships than anybody. That's fine. We call it City of Champions.
What, Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been there? No one calls it the City of Champions.
Everybody does. Pittsburgh's a fantastic place, and you should watch your tongue there, Jeffy. It's an amazing city. Fantastic okay. city.
Yeah, man, sure.
Dan, you like Pittsburgh.
I'm not jumping in on this one. I feel like feelings are getting hurt. People are going to be crying.
Listen, all right.
Niners. I got to say is Niners.
Oh, Jesus. Right. Well, Chef, what I'm trying to get at is talking about some of that food in the Ohio area, man. There's actually some pretty good food out there.
There is, yeah. I mean, there's definitely some great restaurants in Cleveland.
Cleveland has restaurants?
Super small town, yeah. I mean, they're downtown.
Interesting.
Michael Simon's done, like, great stuff there. Lola was one of like greatest spots in Tremont when it was like the original spot was so fucking dope, so cool, so ahead of its time.
Right.
But the problem with Cleveland is that getting people to change and like want to eat interesting food was super hard.
I totally get that.
After I graduated school and was in Cleveland working at a pretty cool spot called Moxie where we did like everything in house. Jonathan Bennett was a great chef. He was from South Carolina, had like this like Southern kind of pull on everything. It was awesome. It was the only restaurant I've ever worked in where we never saw a ticket and the expediter just like yelled at you what you had to cook. It was pretty amazing.
I was just working at a place like that.
It was crazy.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's not good. Sorry, continue, Chef. I apologize.
All good. And I actually have not been back home in almost 4.5, almost 5 years.
Do you have family out there still, or no?
Yeah, my mom and my dad and my sister, but it's just I use my vacation time to go on vacation. I used to use my vacation time to go home, and I was like, I can't do this. I need a break. I can't go home to Ohio and then like sit in my parents' living room and stare at them. It's just not a.
Oh, bro, you
know, not a
100%. Couldn't agree more. Now, are you married? Do you have kids? What's your story?
Yeah, so I am married 4 years to the lovely Samantha Duane, Rambo, as you might know her. She heads up the roller skating on the East End. we've been married for years. She moved here from Nashville, Tennessee, about a little over 9 years ago. She was playing roller derby at the time.
Hell yeah.
We met like her second day in town and never stopped hanging out.
That's what's up. I love that story. P.S. That's why you stopped going to your parents on vacation.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, we can't do this shit anymore. We need to go to South America. I'm like, you know what? You're right. You should. Let's do this. Let's do that.
You were like, but Cleveland's calling, honey. Come on, Rambo.
But it's gonna
Cleveland
be
rocks!
In February, but it's fucking butt-ass cold and right. Dark.
No it's dark.
No kids, no plans to have kids. I think when I decided to be a chef, I decided that I didn't want to have kids because I just thought it would be kind of unfair. It'd be like having a dog. Like, I don't have a dog. I don't have any pets. My career takes a lot of my time.
You're dedicated to it, man. I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. And I understand that, too. When you work in a restaurant, I mean, you're giving your heart and soul to it, six, sometimes 7 days a week. I get it.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, like, as I, you know, I turned 40 this year, and I don't really have a desire to have kids either. It's right. Not like things have changed.
Well, you don't want them now.
No.
I mean, no one likes the 20-year-old kid with the 60-year-old dad. Come on.
Yeah. Going to graduation, you're the old guy now. No thanks.
That's wild.
Jesus. But, well, so going to, you know, Cleveland, Ohio, where you grew up, and then how did you end up here in the Hamptons? Kind of random.
Funny thing, we're talking about Steelers and football and all that shit. I really don't follow sports, but the whole reason that I'm even in the Hamptons is because of Randy Lerner, the owner of the Cleveland Browns at one time.
What?
So a friend of mine had a restaurant in Cleveland that Randy used to eat at when the Browns would lose. He would go in and get a well-done burger. And as you know, the Browns lose quite often. So and lo and behold, my friend's restaurant closed. And then Randy bought the Amagansett Square back in 2004 or something like that and couldn't find a chef. So he enlisted my friend Tim Bando from Cleveland to be the chef. And my friend called me in August of 2005. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to CVS. What do you mean? He's like, no, what are you doing here? Like, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm fucking working at this shitty barbecue place. I fucking hate it. And he's like, I'm going to buy you a plane ticket. I want you to fly out here, see if you want this job. And I was like 24, 25. I'm like, all right, let's do it. Flew out, and I'm like, look around. Like, his beautiful people. I'm like, I could do this. I could do this for a couple of years.
Fucking culture shock, I'm guessing, from Cleveland, Ohio to the Hamptons, isn't it?
I had never even heard a Jamaican accent, let alone like Romanian or German or anything
wow.
like that. I was like, meeting like pairs at the talk house and just like, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So it was great. I literally got back home, packed a suitcase. My parents were like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm moving. They're like, when? I'm like, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And I packed my and moved. And that was in 2005. And, you know, it was going to be temporary. And then Meeting House turned out to be such a great gig. And I learned so much there, met so many great people. And, you know, it was like kind of in the beginning of Balsam Farms when I met Ian, and he was from Michigan, and we had like this Midwest thing. And it was just, yeah, like just good, solid people. And, you know, one season turned into another season, turned into another season. And then, you know, here I find myself 15 years later owning a home and married.
Well, it's not a bad place to be, man. There's great food out here. There's good people. I mean, it's not a bad place to kind of set up some roots and live. I mean, there's, you know, it's a bitch to get to from anywhere else. But once you're here, you're good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that really drew me to Long Island was just the quality of ingredients and, you know, the local fish and how passionate everybody was about it.
Yeah.
Even though, like, it was kind of funny with, like, Bonnikers and the clams and the whatnot. I'm like, what is going on?
Yep.
You're coming from Cleveland. You're like, wait, do you have any perch?
Yeah, exactly. Like, the only fish I'd seen in Ohio was perch and walleye, and the only thing I ever did with it was bread it in cornmeal and pan fry it.
Now, listen, don't sleep on some walleye. Walleye is a good fish.
It's great fish, but it was lovely for me to see something besides that.
I was speaking to a chef earlier today named David Bainbridge. He's the chef at the Shipwright's Daughter in Mystic, Connecticut, where, I mean, they go out and get seaweed every day. They have a fisherman named Josiah who they buy fish from. I mean, you're right. People here in the New England area, when you're a chef up here, and I mean, there's some great food that you can get in this area that people don't, I don't think they realize it or understand it.
Yeah, no, it was definitely the selling point for me. If it would have just been like another job and just like another restaurant, I don't think I would have fell in love with it like I did. And, you know, I kind of made when I first moved here, I'd like made a vow. I'm like, I'm not going to like get in a relationship or whatever. I'm just going to cook as hard as I can. And just like really dove into the ingredients and like the lifestyle and everything of the Hamptons. And it's great. I love living here.
That's awesome.
Except it's challenges, especially over the past year and a half, but sure. You know,
everybody's got challenges over the past year and a half, you know.
Yeah,
everybody does.
Everywhere, no matter where you live, no matter where you're a chef, no matter what job you have, you're faced with like challenges on a daily basis. Doesn't really matter where.
So how does your journey get you to the highway?
So I was let go from Meeting House because, I mean, it's a long story. In general, I was let go because I was young, single, didn't have any kids, and they knew I could find another job. So I started working for, yeah, right?
That's
so I
fucked up.
So fucked up. I started working for Joe Romito at Nick and Tony's.
Mm-hmm. Excellent human being. Excellent human being.
Excellent human being. Like, proud to call that guy a brother. He is amazing.
Nice.
So solid.
We should have him on the show.
And he like helped us move. We bought a house. He's like, yeah, let's use the catering van. Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, that's great. Awesome.
Working with him for 2 years, Nick and Tony, met some really, really great people there. And then I moved over to Rowdy Hall to kind of co-chef there and do some changing of the menu and stuff like that. It just wasn't really the right fit for me. So Sam and I were thinking about trying to move somewhere, maybe move to Philly or move to a city. And we had had a night at the Talk House. So we woke up and went to the beach with some bagels. And I saw a friend of mine that I had worked with at Meeting House. And I said, oh, you know, Binky, just so you know, I'm on the market. If you hear of anything that's open. And he's like, oh, really? He's like, does Joe know you're looking? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I had an honest conversation with him. And I got something for you. So I went on this interview for the chef job at Highway, and I had no idea what it was really about. And ended up taking the job, and it was just a solid move. The executive chef that I worked with Marco Pierre White when he had Hugo's, mm-hmm. like pretty much when the book White Heat was written.
Wow.
He was working at the restaurant. And the guy is just, he's amazing. And like, I remember when that book came out in the 90s when like I was working at a bistro style restaurant and I saw that book and I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It's a great like, book.
Black and white cover, sitting on a milk crate, smoking a cig, you know, just like, I'm like, that's awesome. I want to be a chef, you know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of funny that it all came full circle. And then here I was working for a guy that was part of all that.
Wow.
And then I've, you know, been lucky enough to be a part of Highway since the beginning. And, you know, all of our changes and evolutions and everything. And we find ourselves to be, I think, one of the best restaurants out here.
I mean, definitely have the longevity. You guys have been around for what, 5 years?
Seven. It's our seventh season.
Wow. I mean, awesome. That's impressive. I got to get over there to eat. I live in Amagansett, man. I got to go over there and eat. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, please do. Always tons of specials. It's almost obnoxious sometimes. They're like 9 specials. I'm like, don't worry. I wrote them all down for you guys.
Is it hard to get a rezzo or no?
No, you got my number, right?
Oh, well, okay. That makes it easier.
I always work it out with the fam.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Dan, why don't you throw some plugs out for good brother here? This is Justin's a great dude. I really enjoyed this conversation. Get those plugs out there for him, Dan.
Yeah, I'm loving it too. This has been great. Yeah, so Justin Finney 666 on IG.
The number then... of the beast.
Sorry.
Yeah. And at Highway Hamptons.
On IG. Okay, terrific.
You interrupt my flow and then.
Sorry, my fault. Yeah, go ahead. Get his plugs out there. I apologize.
I'm gonna start this over again.
Yeah, get it out there.
So we gonna
English
go ahead.
Motherfucker, do you speak it?
Shout out this boy, Justin Finney.
He's Shut up, Demi.
Finney 666.
Okay, terrific.
At Highway Hamptons, he also has a special dinner coming up at Quail Hill Farm on September 12th, Amagansett, Long Island.
And your son.
Check it out.
And your son.
God damn it. Wax on, wax off, motherfucker.
Man. Justin, isn't that the best plug you've ever gotten in your life?
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's the only plug, but yeah, totally great.
Talk
there
about
you go.
This...
We just set the bar pretty high. I'm just going to let you
That's
know.
Right. Hey, talk about this dinner coming up, man, in September. This sounds awesome.
So it's pretty much Quail Hill does it every year, except for last year, where they traditionally set up a long table in the field. And then a bunch of chefs get together and kind of create a menu using everything the farm has to offer and create a dinner. This year's a little bit different where it's going to be like one giant open pit where everybody's going to cook. And then there's going to be different stations. So it's kind of going to be more like a party where you walk around and get bites of food everywhere just to kind of be like COVID conscious and not have people sitting on top of one another.
Chef, hang on one second. Jeffy, how come we're not doing this?
Well, it's outstanding in the field and it's usually they work with just restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to help through RV eating before.
All right. Sorry, Chef. Continue. I'm annoyed. This sounds awesome. I'm like, why aren't we a part of this?
Because we're just private chefs now. That's how it works.
It's pretty fun. But yeah, it's great. It's a great gives a great sense of community for all the chefs out
here.
I
love it.
And it's also, I think, the biggest fundraiser that Quail Hill does because they're a. I think they work with like the, you know, they're like a government farm, so they get their money from there and like all of the shares that people
like buy. Welfare. What do you mean government farm?
Yeah, no, like because it's. Not a land trust, so they get the money from there, and then the way that the farm pays for all their employees and stuff is shares that people buy, like to pick your own and all that kind of stuff. They don't do the baskets like Balsam does.
Right. They
do more of like a pick your own type situation, which is fantastic.
That's awesome.
And I normally have the time to be a part of that, but this summer time got away from me and I did not get a chance to do it. But usually, my wife and I have a share there and we'll harvest a bunch of stuff and jar a bunch of tomatoes and then send them out for Christmas gifts. So pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. Look at you. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about this home life before we get you out of here, man. I really appreciate your time. I'm so pleased to meet you. I can't wait to come over to the restaurant and say what's up. I got to be careful, though. Every restaurant I go to, just say what's up to somebody these days, Jeffrey. They make me work.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. Well, they don't make me. They ask me nicely.
No, you. I don't want to get into it.
All right. Well, Jeffy gets angry at me, Chef. I apologize.
Save it, bro. He's in there.
Plum,
and he loves it. I said, you're Captain Saber, bro, and you're in there, and you're like, you like, show up, and you love it. You love it. You love the energy.
Yeah, but look, let's be honest.
So we miss it. I'm the same way, man. I'm telling you right now. Mark my words, Justin. Me and this motherfucker are going to have some sort of restaurant or something in the next probably 10 years. There's no doubt about it.
I don't want to own a restaurant.
He's like, I don't want that. But then you should see him when he gets behind the line.
Bro.
Or we're cooking and we're on, like, the mission. Like, me and him do a lot of events together. And when we get business, he lights up like a fucking Christmas tree. He looks like a kid. You know what I mean? Like, he gets so excited.
Except for when we're in Mexico trying to plate 100 plates and no one speaks English. And you're just
and when no one spoke English. And I don't know if you know this, Justin. Everyone else on the show does. But when I speak any language, I usually speak English with that accent and slower.
That's all he does. And louder. And louder.
And I throw in a handful of yeses and nos in said language. Very good at it.
All right. Look, no one's laughing because they don't get the story but you and I because we were there. But look, just Chef, I got to tell you. I've been helping out at a particular restaurant here in Montauk who my sister-in-law owns. And, bro, I haven't been behind a line in a long time. When I got back there, let me tell you something right now. This old dog was back there fucking showing them new pups some shit. It was – I equate it to in sports, they talk about how once you've been doing it a long time, the game slows down for you as you're playing it. And that's where I'm at now on the line. Like, everything's slowed down. Like, I just – you have a better grip. You know what's supposed to happen, and you know how it's supposed to go. And like when you're good at it, you've been doing it, and the game slows down. It's just a whole different world.
Well, don't you find like you waste less energy and all? Like you're just doing things more efficiently because you're like, I don't have time for this shit. I got other stuff to do. On top of the fact that I'm cooking right now, you definitely burn yourself less. That's for sure.
That's true. Jeffy, he gets it, Jeffy. You don't get it. See, all you do is berate me for it. Justin gets it.
I don't berate you for it. I embrace you for it.
Well, let me tell you what. You watched it one night, and you were like, that motherfucker, look at him go.
Yeah, I listen, man. That's why I'm trying to tell you we're going to have a restaurant. It's in my goal book.
Justin, I was the best cook in the room when I walked in. I was the best grill cook they'd ever had. It was awesome.
Beautiful. I love
Fuck yeah. And I wasn't even wearing pants. I didn't give a fuck.
It's like going to the Cleveland Browns from like the New York
Giants. It was like the Steelers playing the Browns ten years ago.
Or being Magic Johnson and going to like a special ed camp and like beating everyone at the special ed camp.
What are you talking about? Jeffy, you can't. What's wrong with you? Say that.
Is that not okay?
No. Notice how our guest has stopped talking. Do you understand? Like, that's how bad that was.
Was that bad? I wasn't trying to be bad.
Dan, this is your friend, Dan.
I thought it was funny.
I apologize. This is what happens. This is ADD radio at its finest. We find a dead horse and just kick that sumbitch till it breaks into a million pieces.
Love it.
Hey, make sure you check out our new friend, Chef Justin Finney, at the Highway Restaurant in East Hampton. He's doing some fantastic food out there. Chef, do you have 100% control on the menu out there?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I work with a lot of menu development stuff with the executive chef, but he travels quite a bit. So right now it's pretty much 100% me managing the team and the menu and kind of running the ship on a day-to-day. On top of the fact that we also run a catering program.
I mean, after all this time you've been there, man, they take care of you well, I hope, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Best situation I've ever been in.
That's amazing.
Work-wise.
You're from fucking Cleveland, man. We should talk just to make sure. I broker a lot of big things for people. I'm just breaking
fucking Jeff. All right, listen, here's the deal. I got to just take it back to roller skating one more time. Roller derby is essentially pro wrestling. Your wife was in roller derby, correct?
Yes, not only in roller derby, but she was the captain of her Nashville Roller Girls team.
This is what I'm talking about.
Many, and they went to championships a couple of years. Didn't win, but they were there.
But it's like predetermined stuff. Like I remember watching roller derby on TV as a kid, right? It's predetermined.
No, it changed quite a bit. By the time she stopped playing, it was like actual, brackets and championships. Yeah, I mean, it was serious stuff. It was definitely like real. It wasn't fake. It wasn't like pro wrestling type shit. There was strategies. There was.
But she'd be like slingshotting people up and throwing stiff elbows into people's heads.
Kind of. But there's definitely more to it than that. When I got to like learn about the sport and like what everybody's job was and how points were scored and then watch the bouts, and I was like, oh, this is legit. This is interesting. It's cool.
This
they got like lap, right? Like one person has to like lap the people, other people and shit.
This is a great game.
Lap, you go 4 points. And she eventually played again here in New York. She was played for the Gotham Girls, which they're pretty much the best team out there. And they have a bunch of different subdivisions for like Brooklyn and like Bronx Gridlock and stuff like that. So she played for a little while, but the commute was too much. Getting to practice 3 times a week in the city and back.
Dude, if we had friends who were in roller derby, Jeffy, I'd be all about that shit. Let's go to fucking roller derby. Dude,
it is one of the coolest groups of people I think I've ever met. They're so awesome. Like, artists, they all have, it's all this, it doesn't pay anything. So all the girls have other jobs.
Yeah,
they're teachers, totally. they're bartenders, they're, personal trainers, they're like everything, all walks of life. And the they come kickers. Together to like practice and like kick the shit out of each other. It's pretty great.
I mean,
there was a handful of girls that used to play roller derby that worked at Art of Eating that were awesome. And like we used to go party with them sometimes. They were fucking amazing.
But I'm not wrong in thinking this. I think of roller derby I used to watch on TV. It was a lot like pro wrestling. Like it was predetermined. Like, they would. It was very like staged. A lot of things that would happen. It was entertaining as hell. But I guess that's changed.
I think the like original roller derby was purely for entertainment, and then as it kind of.
Uh-oh. I think the roller derby gods were done with him talking, Jeffy.
What the fuck happened?
Ah, we lost him.
Hello?
There he is.
Hey. But yeah, it's super cool. Great group of people. Culture's awesome. And just fun.
Dude, as chefs, we really do find the most interesting people, don't we? How the fuck did this happen?
Oh, bro, like, I think about it, I'm like, how fucking lucky was I to find somebody as, like-minded, but not from the industry, and, it was great.
That's awesome.
But you meet the most interesting people.
Fucking random. Just so random. I don't even know how it works. Chef, we appreciate the hell out of you, man. Thank you for joining us here on the program and breaking some knowledge and talking about your stories, man. One last thing for me. Young culinarians coming up, you've been in the industry a long time. What's a piece of advice you give them?
Piece of advice would be to be humble, because there is not enough of that with the younger crowd. And I think be humble and work hard, and, you know, don't expect to be chef right out of the gate. You guys were talking earlier being called chef, and I think I was in the business for 20 plus years before somebody even ever called me chef.
Wow.
So it's an earned right, and it takes time. It takes dedication, and it sure shit isn't for everybody.
Nope.
Ain't that the truth. That's our boy Chef Justin Finney from the Highway Restaurant. Chef, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on this program. Jeff, you got anything else for Chef?
Nah, man. Just love you, brother. It's great hanging out. I'm glad you joined us tonight. Glad you talked to us. Super positive, brother, and you know, your type of restaurant are like the best types of restaurants, in my opinion, out. You know, the ones that are doing it, going local, getting all of it, making all of it. You know what I mean? Like, no bullshit. I love what you do, and, you know, hats off.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Dan, anything for Chef, or can get him out of here?
I have a quick thing. I noticed on your on the Highway Hamptons on the IG, y'all have you're doing like pickles and dressings and a couple other things that looks like you're selling. Is that part of like the whole COVID thing? Did you start doing that as another means of making some money? Do you think you'll continue doing things like that in the future?
So absolutely, we were making hot sauce and having like a bunch of our dressings available, and just to kind of as another way to create revenue while we were doing so much takeout. But it turned out we really didn't need to be doing that, so it wasn't something that I focused on. And I will definitely continue to have those things available on our Shopify. And, you know, hopefully it's kind of like another step to maybe doing a highway takeaway spot, where we can make available and have a spot where we just kind of focus on doing takeout, because it was it worked out really well, and I actually enjoyed it, kind of creating in that way.
That's awesome. Sounds fantastic, Chef. Thank you for joining the program, ladies and gentlemen. Chef Justin Finney, give it up for him.
Attaboy, Justin.
Yeah, there he is, right there. Ah. Man, what a good brother that guy is, man. I really appreciated that whole conversation, Jeffy.
No, I told you, man. Me and him clicked. Amber was picking on me at skate night the other night. She was like, "Plum's gonna be jealous. You have a new man. You have a new chef crush." I was like, "No, it's not. It's not true." But Justin's awesome. Like,
let me tell your wife something right now. I am very content with our relationship. I trust Jeffy wholeheartedly. There is no chance that he would have a new chef crush. We're past the crush part of our relationship, Amber.
That's what I tried to tell her.
Like, we can meet other great chefs and be friends with them. It doesn't have to go that far.
Exactly. I told her. I was like, "Babe, we've been to Mexico. Shit's different.
It's a different world."
Chef relationship.
I don't know what she's talking about. That's so hurtful. Chef Justin Finney, the Highway Restaurant. Dan, what a good brother, huh?
Yeah, that was a great conversation. That was a lot of fun. Very informative. I love hearing perspectives of different chefs.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's got himself in a good spot, too, which makes me happy. Because, you know, sometimes you find these restaurants in certain places, especially places that are vacation areas like here, that, you know, they tend to treat people like shit. And it sounds like that's not the case there.
Yo, real talk. When I met his wife, someone in the group said to me, "Oh, she's married to this guy, Justin. He's a chef. You should meet him." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, whatever." And I, like, then in passing, I asked like two like foodie buddies of mine who eat out a lot. And I was like, "Oh, have you ever heard this guy, Justin? He cooks someplace in East Hampton." They're like, "Oh, from the highway? Yeah, he's dope, dude. And I was like, oh, really? And they were like, yeah, dude, he's like, the food there is awesome. And I was like, really? And because I'd never been. I don't eat out ever. I don't go anywhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I was
like, a little bit of a drive for you, too.
Well, dude, it could be Guam. I literally don't go anywhere. I just don't do it. You know what I mean? But now, after meeting Justin, I'm like, oh, my God, I want to go to the highway so bad. Just because he's a great guy, and I know he's killing it. And it's like, and then
well, how was the food when you went? Just unbiased opinion, how was the food? You got to go eat there the other week.
No, I haven't gone.
Oh, I thought you guys went and had dinner.
No.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm going to try to make
it. We talked about it, and then we were supposed to hang out and like eat snacks this week at skate night, but it got rained out.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to make that happen next week. Well, Chef Justin Finney from the Highway Restaurant, make sure you check him out. He's a good brother. Appreciate that conversation for sure. Boys, I think it's about time to jump on this Pop 1 before it gets too late. How do you feel about that?
It's kill, 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 murder, murder, murder.
I think that was a great person to have for this conversation we had earlier because he was talking about how he works 70 hours. He loves what he does. He has a family. I'm sorry, I had to chime in real quick. But he's doing
what he doesn't have a family.
Well, he does. He has his version of a family. Him and his wife. Your family, family's what you want it to be. He has his family within his kitchen. Like that's the life he chose. He decided I want to be a chef. This is what I know I have to do to become a great chef, and this is how I'm going to do it. And he took those points and went in and did it the way he wanted to do it. And that's what you got to do. Do it the way you want to do it. And that's like if you have. What your end game is, that's you do it the way you did it, you do it the way you want to do it, and you have fun doing it. Fuck everything else.
Damn.
Exactly.
That's it right Dan. There. How about that?
Gems over
that,
here.
That Danalogue was fucking on point.
No, diamond cutting. Listen to this dude. Dang.
That was up right there. Make sure you check out our good friend, Chef Justin Finney from the Highway Restaurant. Hit him on Instagram at, is it Chef Justin Finney 666 on the IG? Is that right?
That is correct.
Beast
and Highway Hamptons on IG.
We're gonna get Dan back out here. Go check out my man's restaurant.
Absolutely, we should all go out. He's a fun dude, and his wife's super fun too. Like, I love going to skate nights on Mondays. In fact, my leg's better. I can't wait to skate.
That's what's up. I'm excited for. All right, friends, for Chef Dan, for Chef Jeffy, I'm Chef Plum. Thanks for checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll see you guys next week. With another episode that's going to break down some of the things that are hidden in life or things in life that you may not understand, it's our job to help you understand them. Ladies and gentlemen, our food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. We'll see you next week, right here.
Too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.